And let's begin by reading 37, 38, and 39. Jeremiah 32, beginning at 37, 38, and 39, beginning at verse 37 together. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of all their children after them. All right, in verse 37, who's writing this? Who's the author of this book? Who's the author?
Jeremiah,
okay. And Jeremiah, he's quoting who? Who's he quoting? He's quoting the Lord, isn't he? God. And it says in verse 37, I will gather them. Who's the them referred to? God's people, Israel, the Jews. He's going to gather them. One day he's going to take them from all the countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger. Now, does the Lord have anger? What does he have angry about? Why is he angry? Against what?
Idolatry
is one thing. Sin? Sin of all kinds, isn't it? He's angry every day against sin, whether it's in us or someone else or in the country, the world. And so his people were guilty of idolatry. And so he drove them out. What country was he going to drive them out into? This is the southern two tribes. Remember, he's going into two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. They were in the southern part of Jerusalem. Where was he going to take them into captivity? Into Babylon, way over here, which is now Iraq. And about 600 B.C., he's going to take them over into Iraq. And Jeremiah is the prophet, trying to get the people back to the Lord, back to the things of the Lord, that he wouldn't have to do that. Now, the northern kingdom, in the northern part, the 10 tribes of Israel, they were taken off into what other group of captivity? Assyria, up here in Assyria. See, in Assyria captivity, they were taken up about 700 B.C., 100 years before, because of their sins. And they were wicked and evil, and so God had to punish them. So God says, I've scattered them, driven them in my fury, my great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place. And in verse 37, what does he say is going to be the conditions when they go back to Jerusalem? They will dwell safely. Are they dwelling safely today? No, some of them are, some of them aren't. There's kind of bombings, and there's all kinds of civil war, and the Arabs and the Jews are fighting and battling. But one day, during the millennial reign of Christ, the Lord Jesus is going to come back and reign on this earth 1,000 years, and he will cause them to dwell safely. And then in verse 38, what relation will the Lord have to his people Israel? And what relation will they have to him? In verse 38. They shall be his people. Again, they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They've rejected the Savior. But one day they'll accept him as their Messiah. They'll be his people. And then what is the relation that God will have to the Jews? He'll be their God. They'll go back and worship the Lord and his Son, the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 39, will there be a unity among them? What type of unity will the Jews have when they go back into their land, when the Lord causes them to go back?
One heart.
One way. What does the Lord Jesus say about the way in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way is the Lord Jesus, and there be one way that they may fear me forever. In what sense should people fear the Lord? In what sense? God wants us to fear him forever. Reverently, that's true. Someone you fear, you can respect, but you also know that they might do you harm if you don't behave. Am I right? For instance, we should respect the police, but also there's a fear of the police. If you see that man coming with the lights flashing, you better do what he says. He's got a gun, he's got a billy club, a nightstick, he's got all these things, he's got handcuffs, he's got tear gas, he's got all kinds of things. He's got rifles and shotguns. So there's the respect, because you know that behind that respect there's power. And we've got to fear the Lord because we respect him, because behind that, if we don't fear him and honor him, he's going to punish us. He can punish us. He punishes Christians that are out of fellowship. He disciplines us. And that's a very important thing we should understand. And so we should fear him forever. Now notice in verse 39, does the Lord want us to do this to make us sad and unhappy? What does it say in verse 39 as to the motive the Lord has for their good? If people follow the Word of God and the Scriptures, Do some people not want to follow the scriptures? They don't like it. But are any of the scriptures to make people sad and in poverty and trouble? All of them are for our benefit, aren't they? For our good, the scriptures. God never gives us any command, anything in His Word, that's going to hurt us and harm us. Now, the world makes wickedness and sin seem very tempting, doesn't it? But God says, no, we're not to go that way. And to stay away from the world, sometimes people say, well, that's no fun, being good. But God wants us to be good and follow His Word for our benefit, that we may love Him and serve Him and do what is right. Notice, not only for their people, but in verse 39, does God care about children? In verse 39. The next generation. Important, isn't it? Not just for their good, that we're coming back into the land, all the regathering of Israel back into Jerusalem from all the countries where God has scattered them, but also for their children. Not only for their good, but also for their children after them. If we don't save our children, if we don't have any desire to go to the next generation, what's going to happen to the Christian faith? What's going to happen to our Bible? It's going to be gone. Nobody carry on the torch. Nobody carry on the beliefs and the stand that we have. Let's read verse 40, 41, and 42 together. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Right in verse 40, what does God promise He's going to do with the people of Israel after He gathers them? You have an everlasting covenant. And what is a covenant? A covenant. What is it? It's an agreement. It's an agreement. It's a promise, isn't it? It's an agreement and a promise. And He's not going to turn away from them. He's going to make an everlasting covenant. Now, what is His object? What's He going to do for this in this covenant in verse 40? What's He going to do for them? Not turn away from them? Going to do them good and to help them. And then what did the last part of that verse mean? I will put my fear in their hearts. What does that mean, do you think? Yes, Jack. Okay, so they obey and not lead down a sinful path. That's exactly right, Jack. He wants them to love Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, and to follow Him. And that's why the fear in their hearts. You see, they didn't have any fear in their hearts, and that's why they worshiped idols and worshiped images. That's why God had to send them way over into Babylon, their captivity, in order to judge them. But now He's going to put the fear right in their hearts that they would do what? In verse 40, that they should not do what? Not depart from Him. He did not want them to depart again like they did before. And then in verse 41, does the Lord like things when people do that which is good? It says He's going to rejoice, isn't He? He's going to be happy over them to do them good. And then in verse number 41, He says again, what promise? To all the Jews scattered all over the world. Plant them in this land assuredly. What land does He mean? This land. In Jerusalem, this land, the Palestinian land, and He's going to plant them assuredly. What would assuredly mean? Assuredly. Definitely, absolutely. There's no question about it. He's going to do it. He promised to do it. He will do it. And then He says, with my whole heart and my whole soul. What would that imply? Completely. What does half-hearted mean? Half-hearted. Not complete. Just sort of a halfway. But with His whole heart. The Lord is going to back it up. And He's going to do it with His whole soul. Whole heart and soul. Now, when you have the Lord's feelings in the Scriptures, even though He's God and He's not a body, doesn't have a body like we have, He's a person, and He has feelings. But what do we call that? What figure of speech do we call that when we put the feelings of the Lord similar to our feelings so we'll understand what He means? Remember what that big word is? Anthropopathism. Anthropopathism. Anthropos means man. Patheo means to feel. The feelings of man. So God loves. He has a whole heart. And also the forms of the body, the parts like He has hands, eyes. He doesn't have little hands, but that means we can understand. He can see. He can feel. He can touch. He can do things. He's powerful. What is that figure of speech called? When the parts of the body are attributed to the Lord, so we can understand. And the feelings, anthropopathism. The parts of the body, anthropomorphism. Morphe means the form of man. See, anthropos is man, the form, morphe, the form of man. Anthropomorphism, that's those are big words. But when he says, I will do it with my whole heart, my whole soul. We have a heart, we have a soul, and God talks about that, so we can understand it. And remember what the Lord Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy soul, all thy strength. All these four different things. And so here's the Lord promising to do this with his whole heart and soul. All right, let's read verse 42, 3, and 4 together. For thus saith the Lord. This is in Jeremiah 32, in case people are tuning in late and they don't know which chapter. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 42. Let's read that. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say, it is desolate, without man or beast. It is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. All right, in verse number 42, who is the one that's the source of this truth? The Lord. Thus saith the Lord. See, Jeremiah was a preacher of the words of God. He didn't make it up of himself. He didn't come out of his own brain. Thus saith the Lord. And then he has an analogy here in verse 42. Like this, so as that. What is the first part of that analogy? What did he do in the first place, and what is he going to do? He brought evil. Why did he bring that evil? Because of their sin. They really brought it upon themselves. But he says, I permitted it, I brought it upon them, sent them into captivity. And then he's going to do what is opposite to that? Bring them good, just like he did evil, that he's promised them. And now, does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. That's one of the things that Grace De La Cruz mentioned in her phone call tonight to me, just before the meeting. She said their pastor did not think that this promise in Psalm 12, 6 and 7 referred to the preservation of the words of the Bible. Let's keep our place here and just go to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Take a little while to find that. Psalm 12. Chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7. All right, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord. So in verse 6, if he talks about the words of the Lord, what is he referring to? The Bible, the words of the Lord. The Bible is written in the Old Testament in what language? Hebrew. A little Aramaic, but mostly Hebrew. In the New Testament, what's it written in? But Greek, okay? So the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. What is he talking about? What is being purified seven times? What is that referred back to? The words of the Lord, purified seven times. And then in verse 7, thou shalt keep them. What's them refer back to? The words of the Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. What's the them refer back to there? The words of the Lord. From this generation forever. Does that promise the preservation of his words? And yet this pastor says it doesn't refer to the words. Your pastor, Grace's pastor, says it doesn't refer to the words. See, this is the line that these men from Bob Jones and Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Seminary have taken. They despise this Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Do you know what they say it refers to? This them refers to the people. It refers to the people, the godly man in verse 1. How can you go all the way back to verse 1 when you have the antecedent of the them right there? The words, plural, words is words, see? They'll stop at nothing in order to despise the fact that God has promised to preserve his words. God keeps his promises. There are other verses on Bible preservation. Now, these two books that I mentioned to Grace when I talked to her, the Bob Jones University production and backing from the mind of God to the mind of man, I've answered that. I call it fundamentalist misinformation on Bible verses. I've answered that. It's a book. She can get it. You can get it. Anybody can get it. The second book that they've come out with, the Bob Jones University and Detroit Baptist and various other different writers, they're the ones that are backing it. They have come up with a book called God's Word in Our Hands, The Bible Preserved for Us. I've answered that. That's at the publisher's right now. It's going to be here, Lord willing, on the 15th of July next month, and we can get that too. But both these books are saying that these Psalm 12, 6, and 7 do not refer to Bible preservation. They don't believe in Bible preservation. Nothing is working out at all. Yvonne, you have some trouble? On the black thing. Yeah, that one there, yeah. Put it right in the center. Are you all right? Is that okay now? Okay. Don't worry about it. That's the DVD. Having a little DVD trouble there. Is the other one working all right? Yeah, the other one's working fine. All right. Just don't do anything. Just let it go on. So, Bible preservation. Now, no, go back to our verses. There's some, or other. Yeah, go ahead. Turn it on again. Just turn it on again. Put a record again. Going back to our verse, in verse 42, I will bring them good that I have promised them. Now, the question I asked was, does God keep His promises? What did the Lord say, the Lord Jesus say about His Father's house? Many mansions. To the believers that trust in the Lord Jesus, what did He promise them? Preparing a place for them in heaven. If I go away, I'll cause you to come unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, what? How do you get there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So He keeps His promises of heaven, and He's going to keep His promise to bring Israel back into the land. And then in verse 43, what about the fields? What about the fields? All right, the fields will be brought again. You remember Jeremiah was told to buy a field. Here he was going to go 70 years in the Babylonian captivity, and he said, now you buy a field because you're coming back. You're going to come back and the land is going to be worth something. Buy a field. And God says, as fields, the fields shall be bought in the land, wherein you say it's desolate, without man or beast, it's given in the hand of the Chaldeans. When the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, came and took all the good land, they possessed that whole thing, and pack the people off into captivity. God says, they say, it's desolate. God says, you buy fields. And so in verse 44, what does He say that the men shall buy? Fields. And subscribe evidences. In other words, have your title deeds and seal them and take witnesses and so on. All the different places. Benjamin, Jerusalem, cities of Judah, the mountains, the valley, cities of the south. What's the last part of verse 44 say? What's God going to do? He's going to cause them to return from their captivity, saith the Lord. Now, God's going to keep that promise as well. All right, any other comments on Jeremiah 32 before we go on to 33? All right, let's take your other sheet here, Jeremiah 33, that other one, the single one there, Jack. I call this Future Blessings to Israel. And let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Just that one sheet, 1, 2, and 3, starting with verse 1 of Jeremiah 33. It's Jeremiah 33:1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All right, Jeremiah, where was he at this time? In verse 1? In prison. Is it pleasant to be in prison? It's not pleasant, is it? Now, we may go to preach the gospel to those in prison. I've done that when I was first saved in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. I went every Sunday to the jail and preached the word of God. But what was the source of Jeremiah's message here in verse 1? The word of the Lord. He's the source. Came into the second time while he was shut up in the court. Why was Jeremiah shut up, you think, in the court of the prison? Didn't like what he had to say. That's true of many things. If people don't like it, they just turn the other way. They shut you up in prison. They try to stop you, shut your mouth in some other way. But even in prison, is the Lord able to speak to somebody in prison? That's right. We got a letter from a chaplain just today from prison in Washington State. And the chaplain said, we have 850 prisoners. Could you send us some cassettes? Could you send us some books? We have a library here. We sent them other things, you know. She said, they said, we'd like to have them because the prisoners go in, they check them out. If it's a cassette, they have a master copy, make copies, and they listen to it. Can you send it to them? We're going to send them to the prisoners because they've requested it. The chaplain has requested it, and we're going to send some things, some books. They requested 3 or 4 books, which we can do. We're not a huge organization, but we can do what we can do. We're going to send them some cassettes. We've got a lot of cassettes, videos, VCRs, so they can listen and see the gospel message and learn some of the things. So you pray for that. So even in prison, the Lord is able to speak. We get letters, don't we, Bonner, from prisoners all the time. They want Bibles, and they want to have prayer. Mostly they, what is that? A lot of times now, if the prison doesn't let them have hardback books, you have to have the warden give the rules, first of all. If you send them with board books, they don't like to do it because they can hide knives in those things, in those books. But if it's right from the publisher, if the chaplain says it's all right, now this chaplain told us that it's all right, so we're going to send them to this prison. Sometimes you send them, and they come back. A lot of them are using the books and the Bibles. It's expensive, but we try to do what we can. So God can speak. And now notice in verse 2, who is the Lord? What does he say he is in regard to Israel? What's his title in regard to Israel in verse 2? He's the maker. He's the one that formed it to establish it, his people. He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, right out of the same place where there was captivity. Out of the Ur of the Chaldees, that's Iraq today. Called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. That was the start. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's his people, the people of Israel. And he's the maker. He's the one that formed it, established it. What's his name in verse 2? The Lord. And that's all capitals. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is the word Jehovah in the Hebrew. It's Jehovah. And the Lord is his name. And then in verse 3, since it is the powerful Lord is his name, what does he suggest that we do? Call upon him. Call unto me. What will he do when you call upon him? I will answer. If somebody calls upon you and you don't answer, what might they think? Maybe being ignored, that's right. Maybe you're deaf. Somebody today was so busy. Where was it, Bonnie? It was some place. I know where it was. It was at the dollar store last night. Here was a clerk with 5 or 6 or 7 people lined up. We were there. My wife had gotten some cards. She likes to send birthday cards, you know, to all the different ones that have birthdays and the sick different ones. She must have had 50 different cards, and each one of those has to be each one checked out separately, you know, with a beeper and a beeper and a beeper and all these people. So she asked a friend of hers, would you take the other clerk, would you take the other cash register? And then the girl said, well, I guess she's not going to do it. I said, maybe she didn't hear you. Maybe she didn't want to hear you. Well, after about 5 or 10 minutes, after the people behind us were sort of wondering what's going to happen, she finally did take the thing. But no, that's right, Jack. When people do not respond, when we speak to them, we wonder if they're being ignored, or maybe they're deaf, maybe they don't hear us, but it's just ignored. But when you speak and call unto the Lord, what does he promise? I will answer. Now, does God always answer the way we want him to answer? No. We may have a lot of things that we request. Lord, forgive me for my sins. He'll answer that, all right. Lord, give me wealth. Give me a new house. Give me a new car. No, see, he doesn't always answer the way we request. As the book of James says, sometimes we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own desires. But the Lord says, I will answer. What is he going to do then after verse 3? Show thee great and mighty things. He's a mighty God. He will show great and mighty things. If we call upon him, that's in prayer. We've got to go to him. We go to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And things that thou knowest not, things that we don't know, he will show us. And that's why we want to study his words. That's why we want to study the book of Jeremiah. We want to preach the word on Sunday morning. Study the book of Luke also at 1:30. And so we're going to stop right here for tonight. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Any other comments or questions that we want to have? Appreciate those listening to us via streaming and others that are perhaps that we don't know of. And we want to have everybody call in if they ever have a request of any kind, 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. All right, if no other comments or questions, let's close with a word of prayer as we continue. Our Father, we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou art a God that we can call upon. Thou wilt answer us. Show us great and mighty things which we know not. Thank thee that thou one day will call all thy people, Israel, unto thyself, unto thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Redeem them. Bring them back to their land. Give them lands and houses and homes. and bless them. We thank thee for this great promise. We're sorry that they've cast aside thy Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and one day they will return. We thank thee for this. Bless each one that's gathered here. Thou knowest our needs for salvation, for growth, for direction, whatever it may be. And those listening to us by way of our streaming video, guide and direct each one of them as well. Meet their needs, we pray, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.